MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hype Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.tv, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.
Who gives it up and who be rocking all that rough stuff? All in the cut is young dads with the pimp strut. Construct game on those who act lame. See, ain't a damn thing change. You know I ride the neighborhood slow. Blocks on you will let the wind blow. True indeed, I'm having the ball. Pick up the phone and get my homies a call. What's up with y'all? Living in the city where we born the ball. Roll up to Philly, we packing tight. What a pity, what a sight. Inhaling something more, damn, I got what I need.
All right, everybody, welcome to Sunday Night Fights Live. Man, I want to give a big shout-out to our great sponsors of the show, Persist Headwear and Takedown Grappleware. You guys get out there, check them out, doing big things, supporting the community, support local MMA. But without further ado, I know you fans have been waiting all week. Here he is, the one and only, the intercontinental champ of talk MMA radio, Mr. Ray Lopez. How you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing great, Skippy. Happy Easter to everybody out there. You know, we're going to do a big on this this holiday here, and you know, speaking about Persist Headwear, earlier in the week we cut a deal, Takedown Grappleware and Persist Headwear. We are doing a collaboration, so we're going to be coming out with some sick stuff coming out real soon.
Oh, I'm excited. Big things. You're always doing big things, brother. That's what we love about you.
Oh, I mean, you know, out here, the scene in LA, in SoCal, it's just crazy. You got to keep going to keep up. You know, you can't sit back and rest on your laurels here. If you're not expanding or doing better, then you're going backwards. You know, just like Fight Me, we had Steve Romero on last week. You know, he just launched his new website. He's doing big things. You know, I mean, you would look at our guest today. You know, Anthony Calix. He started off working with a commission, and now he's on the management side and doing some matchmaking. And his guys are just taking over the AMI circuit and about to blow up on the pro circuit. I can't wait to have him on.
You know, one thing I love about Sunday Night Show is, excuse me, folks, getting to meet, for me, in depth a lot of the fighters in your area, and we're seeing them make some waves. You know, some of them put on some impressive fights. You know, so far, you know, everybody that we've met on this show, win or lose, have all been gracious, have all been talented fighters in the cage and shown up like a champion and a professional should. So, I got to say, I take your words, man, very, very dear, because so far you've been pretty much right on every guest we've had on here.
Oh, thanks. I mean, you know, it's really not hard to find quality MMA fighters here in California, because it's just exploding right now. You know, everyone out here is training harder than the next guy, because the next guy is just that good. So if you want to stay alive in this sport, in this area, you've got to be at the top of your game, and everybody knows that. So, I mean, a lot of the people that I deal with is just, you know, top-rank fighters, top-rank coaches. It's just amazing out here. Right now is a good time to be involved in SoCal MMA.
Or is there, you know, for everyone who doesn't live there, especially fans outside your region, you know, you say it's a good time right now. How big of a difference is this right now today versus just a year ago?
You know, a year ago, there was definitely differences in amateur and pro MMA. A huge difference. You know, you'd go to a camo show and, you know, the quality of fighter was lacking. You know, well, because, you know, they're amateurs. I shouldn't say they're lacking, but you could tell the difference. There was a huge step from the amateurs to the pro. And now, it's like that gap is closed a lot. Some of these amateurs should be pro already, just, you know, with the by their style, not by the number of fights, because, you know, you don't want to do three fights and turn pro. You want to make sure you're a seasoned amateur before you go pro. But some of these amateur shows, you can't even tell the difference. It's just amazing.
Well, you know, Tony, somebody we've had on your show just a couple weeks ago, you know, we've heard a couple of fighters, as well as yourself, but fighters, in particular, say that, you know, his show was just like any big show they've been to, you know. They felt like, you know, they were treated like superstars. You know, that's today with, excuse me, guys, with the market being flooded, and we've talked about this, folks. There's so much amateur MMA right now that it's washing out a lot of good fighters, and a lot of good leagues are not making it because we have 75 events every weekend and 74 of them are crap. Let's be honest. They're mismatches, cupcakes. So when you get an event, you know, like Tony's Sparstar, you know, where everything is done at that kind of a level with that kind of a professionalism behind it, it draws the best fighters. And it's sad to say, you know, that one, two, maybe three leagues in a region will dominate because they're the only ones doing it correctly. They're the only ones matchmaking cards. Because, folks, it's not just about a win anymore. It's who you beat. It's how you beat them. It's how you lost to them. That matters. And if you have a record and you're 12-0, and they look it up and they see you're fighting all cans, you're never going to get that shot. You're never going to get that call.
You know that's true. Sometimes you can lose a fight, and because of your quality of opponent, it's going to propel your career further than if you want to beat a tomato can.
Yeah.
And you know, with Tony Padilla, his thing, why he's so successful, is the matchmaking. You look at, you know, Mal, he not only matchmakes for Sparstar's amateur show, but he also does OC Fight Club, and they actually had a show on Thursday. I wasn't able to attend, but I heard there were some Fight of the Year candidates on there. You know, it was just explosive. You know, one in particular that we were watching for Tarion Ware was Henry George versus, I'm sorry, Victor Henry versus, I forgot the guy's name, but they're saying that it was possibly Fight of the Year. And, I mean, for them to come out and say that, especially after Tarion and Winston fight, because I thought that was Fight of the Year, you know, that's saying a lot. And, I mean, it's not just a promotion saying that. The fans are coming away saying that. So it had to be an awesome fight.
Well, you know, once again, when we see, you know, leagues like, you know, Tough Enough out of Las Vegas or, you know, Sparstar, where we're seeing upper-level fighters getting to face each other, and I'll be honest, not to disrespect anybody, but right now in the United States, Tough Enough is producing the best amateur fighters in the country consistently. I'm not saying other leagues don't, but that right now is the premier amateur league to test yourself before you go pro. You know, and it's not to be disrespectful to anybody else out there. You guys know I got mad love for a lot of leagues, but when you have leagues like that or leagues like Sparstar or, you know, a few other leagues that are around the country that are consistently producing top fighters, we're going to start to see fights that just blow our mind that you could honestly feel like you're at a pro Big Four event watching. You know, you mentioned, you know, Tarion's fight. You know, you mentioned a few other fights out there, especially since the start of your show, we've talked about some fights that you have truly enjoyed as a fan, you know, at the amateur level. That speaks to two things. One, the promotion matchmaking and the matchmaker themselves doing an extremely good job in matchmaking. And, you know, I'll give big love to Bootsy. You know, he matchmakes very well. Obviously, you deal with a lot of matchmakers, and I know in your business you've come across some you just don't want to deal with, and there's some you love dealing with. And that's because you know what they're producing. And, that, you know, so it speaks to things like that as well as the fighter's talent, the fighter's growth, but we should see better fights and tougher fights at the end of an amateur's career than we should the beginning of his pro career. And I know that sounds odd to people, but your last two or three amateur fights should be extremely tougher than your first two or three pro fights.
Oh, definitely. Definitely it should be. I mean, because basically that's what you're measuring to see if you can go pro. And then once you go pro, then yeah, then it's real. So you got to be more careful who you're choosing to fight.
That's the thing. That's the thing that really, you know, we've talked about it. Amateur titles out there, you know, you know as well as I do. We see a lot of them, and we see way too many of them. That don't really have any validity behind them. You know, a promotion opens their door, puts on their first event, and they got six title fights that night. Come on, let's be honest. Does that title really mean anything? You know? So
oh, exactly.
I want to know to you, as a manager, especially somebody who takes amateurs and pros both and gets them prepared for the world of MMA, would you consider a guy that has five titles and one loss as an amateur a better pickup as a manager versus a guy who is 9-5 as an amateur with no title wins but in three title fights?
The 9-5 guy is probably going to be more attractive as far as being a manager goes, because he's tasted defeat. He's came back from it. You know, that's what you want to see. You know, a loss is more than a win on your record. And, you know, it's how you respond to it that shows what type of person and fighter that you are. And, you know, these manufactured titles where it's a guy who's 4-0 fighting a guy who's 1-8 for the belt. Well, yeah, that belt doesn't mean anything. Now, if you're involved in a tournament style, then, yeah, maybe that belt does mean something. You know, I know Sparstar, it took them a long time before they had titles. And there's other promotions out there, like Ring of Fire. They had a tournament style. You know, they're no longer around Ring of Fire, but it was definitely a tough tournament style to get a shot at the title. And it was done on a point system. And there's other ones that they just throw it together. And, you know, is your guy breathing? Does he want to fight for the belt? It's like, wow, I mean, first time we fought for you, you want to give him a title shot and he has a losing record. What's up with that?
That's so funny, because I saw this weekend, and I won't say the promotion's name, but they were promoting a title fight, an amateur title fight back east for a 145-pound title, the most prestigious title in the state. And it was blah, blah, blah versus blah, blah, blah. 2-7. Versus 3-4, and I was like, that is a title fight?
Exactly. I mean, you have to save face for your promotion when you're having these title fights. You can't, you know, put guys with losing records. Now, I mean, an amateur record, unless you actually see the fights, it really doesn't mean anything. Look at Tarion Ware. He's 11-2 right now as a pro. He's got Bellator and the UFC interested. He's the current Bama and IFS champ. As an amateur, he went 6-6. But if you look at his fights, they were all hard-fought fights. Not a single one of them did he get beat. I mean, they were all wars. I don't think any of them were finished. I think only one of his losses did he tap out. Other than that, was like in the third round that it happened anyway. Other than that, all his fights went all three rounds. They were all wars. So even the ones that he lost were actually really good fights.
We have a kid up here, same kind of background-ish. His name's Christian Graves. He was actually the poster boy for a big push to change the OSRs for the Athletic Commission up here, because we had a 4-loss-in-year ban for life rule. And, yeah, it was real stupid. We will get into that some other day, but he had lost 4 title fights in a row, all by split decisions, and they still wanted to ban him for life. And I was like, how can, dude, 4 title fights, split decision losses in a row? That tells me that this kid's good. I mean, otherwise, if he was matched up against Cans, You know, he would have beat him. And if he was the can, he would have gotten beat. So obviously, he deserved to be in those title fights. He doesn't deserve to be medically suspended indefinitely because you feel that he, four losses in a row in this state at the time, they felt that you're unable to perform in the sport, and so they medically disqualify you, which obviously, if you're disqualified in one state and one commission, unless you fight on a reservation, you're disqualified in the whole country. So, you know, it was hurting fighters. And I understand if some kid's, you know, an amateur and he's 1-10, you know, and he lost 10 in a row, maybe, you know, after four losses in a row, you have him revisit a medical board, you know, and do a review, maybe put him in there with a state, you know, representative who's a coach or has been a coach, and have him do a spar session and watch the kid to see if, hey, yeah, you, bro, you got talent. You just got to learn better. You got to get to a real gym. Or, hey, son, this ain't for you. You know, we're not going to go ahead and relicense you. But, I mean, there's got to be some kind of, you know, repercussion.
Well, you know, I have a fighter. He's no longer fighting anymore. He's actually retired because of a motorcycle accident he had. But he was 1-4. And that doesn't speak to how good the fights were. I mean, out of those four losses, three of them we thought he won, and even the crowd thought he won. And even the cameraman in one of the fights thought he won because they were filming right on him when they announced the decision. So easily, you know, depending on the judging, he could have been 4-1 instead of 1-4.
Oh. See, you know, when we talk about it, there's a difference between a good loss and a bad loss and how you lost. And I know you're not matchmaking, but you do manage, so you do look into fighters and you do look at, hey, you know, this is a, you know, this
well,
fight
I've,
here.
I've done matchmaking before too.
Oh, okay. See, look at that. I learn something new every day, just like us fans. So you know, sometimes you have to look at losses, and they matter. You know, I know this sport of MMA, so many people look at the Zuffa machine and the way it churns out fighters after losing two or three. But the reality is the average fighter is going to lose six or seven fights in a decent career. I mean, it's just reality. You know, there's going to be bad days. There's going to be injuries. There's going to just be straight out you got caught and got knocked out, you know. But you look at K1 or Muay Thai where guys can be, you know, 78-34, and they're still a main attraction, top event, top draw. You know, it's because people are looking at the fight. Well, in MMA, you got to take that reverse and look at the loss the same way.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I'm looking up Sherdog right now. So
what number are we calling? The first one, the second one, or the third one?
Anthony's number. I think
it's okay. I got it. Yep. I got it. Okay. I'm just getting now set up because I think we should have called him in about a minute or two.
It's all good. He can wait. He's cool.
Well, since we're going to do a whole show tonight, and folks, now, this show's going to be with one gym all night tonight. We're going to be focusing on the manager and a couple of the fighters. So kick back, enjoy the show, get a taste of what SoCal MMA is all about, and Mr. Ray Lopez with the Sunday Night Fights Live show. So whose record are you looking up?
I was actually looking up... My shoot dog is going very slow. My boy Joe Camacho, he had a losing record. I think he lost two more fights than he won, but he was a huge draw.
Obviously missed but not forgotten. You know, the draw of a fighter 10 years ago versus today because of marketing, because of Zuffa, is so different. You know, guys, and it's not to be disrespectful to anybody, but we used to have fighters who were athletic dominate the sport.
Oh,
now we have athletes that fight dominate the sport.
He was 13-19-3. Finished his career on the big show with Bellator.
Yep.
So, I mean, record, you have to also look at the losses and see how they were. I mean, he lost his first three fights.
You know,
three or four fights he lost.
And obviously that was at a different era than today to where, you know, there wasn't as much amateur MMA for guys. A lot of guys went pro right away, never even fought amateur back then.
Yeah, he turned pro in 1999. First fight.
Oh, yeah. There was no AMI MMA was not even on the map, really. Let's be honest.
Matt, look at this. This was way back when, okay? His first fight was against Joe Stevenson. His fourth fight was against Tracy Hess. I mean, that was a long time ago. I mean, my boy Tracy, you know, he's got a good camp out there at Subfighter. But, I mean, that was a long time ago when Tracy was fighting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What, 99 you said was when he kicked off his career?
So yeah, 99.
15 years ago?
I mean, he even had a fight with Roger Huerta before Roger was in the UFC.
See, and, you know, obviously, you know, that's not a bad loss, especially when he would have lost to him. He was on his run to the ESPN cover shoot. So that was during part of that prime run of his career. By the way, Roger, I hear, is now out there at Tiger Muay Thai in Bangkok, or at least one of the gyms out there. I know he was working with Ray Elby and Ben Stark when they were out there, but at EC MMA. But yeah, that's a guy right there. I would love, if I was a fighter, I would love to go over and train with Roger. I know he kind of walked away from the sport maybe a little early, but maybe he did it smartly. Maybe he decided, hey, I had my fun and I'm done. But that was a really talented, well-rounded fighter.
Yes, he was.
So let's do this. We're going to call live on air today.
Let's do it. I know he's listening, so he's expecting it.
Well, I'll let you take over with the answer, brother. Like AT&T customer service.
Hello.
Hello, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's up, bro? You're on live with the millions upon millions of fans, bro. Tell them who you are and what you do.
My name is Anthony Calix, and I am founder of Gladiator Camp, and I manage pro and AMI fighters, and we're also venturing into starting to do pro and AMI events in Texas. And I do matchmaking also here in the Los Angeles area for amateur fighters.
Nice,
what's good?
Nice. What's up, brother? So how long have you been in the business?
You know, I worked on with Camo, and, you know, and dabbled with CSAC and stuff probably for the last 3 years. But actually managing and stuff like that, I've probably been doing that only for, like, the last year. You know,
nice.
I was kind of, you know, in the beginning working with Camel, kind of building my clientele, if you will, getting to know people and you know, kind of like the necessary things it takes to become a manager. I mean, you got to know people. That's what it's all about, so.
Oh, definitely. And that's how I met you when you were a Camel official.
So, yeah, know, yeah, exactly.
We go back a little ways.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, kid, Ray. Can I jump in real quick? Hey, this is Skippy, Ray's wingman for the show. It's a pleasure to meet you, brother. And, you know, once again, welcome to Sunday Night Fights Live with all the millions of fans. I'm curious, we were talking before the show, as somebody who's been behind the scenes, is a promoter able to step in during a fight if he feels somebody's injured and can't continue the fight, and the doctors still let it go, the ref still lets it go, can the promoter stop that fight?
No. The promoter doesn't have any authority or anything over a fight. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Pretty much once the weigh-in happens, you know what I mean, we take control over everything. You know what I mean? And especially during the fight, if the referee thinks he's okay and the doctor ringside thinks he's okay, then he's okay. These guys are trained, you know what I mean? It's very rare that bad things happen, you know, and especially deaths, they're very uncommon, but, you know, usually they, you know, if the doctor and the referee think he's fine, the promoter.
Anthony, where we're going with this was happened last week at RFA, where that fighter collapsed in between rounds, and they still allowed the fight to continue, you know, ultimately, someone should have stepped in and stopped it, whether it was his corner, the doctor, the commission. You know, and can you even point the finger at a promoter? Because, like, you know, like you're saying, and like what we've witnessed before dealing with this, basically once a fight gets going, the promoter is powerless.
Right. Yep. Exactly. It's you know, if you're gonna point fingers, and you know, and I hate to put any of my brothers under the microscope, but you know, it falls in the hand of referee and the ringside doctors. I think you know, if I'm, you know, the, you know, you get thrown in the towel too, you know, as a corner.
If the corner didn't step up and say anything, I mean, as a manager, if that was my fighter, I would have stopped the fight then and there. I'm not going to
right.
Tell
yeah.
you because his health and safety is number one to me, not a win or a loss.
Right. And especially during rounds. I mean, if his corners and everybody was that concerned, they could have definitely told the referee, look, we're not continuing. Yeah, at that time, you know, the court could stop it. But no, as far as a promoter, it's out of his hands. It's out of his hands.
I appreciate answering that, brother.
Yep.
Now you got Gladiator Camp, you know, tell us some of your big names who we need to look out for.
You know, well, May 3rd, you know, we had a Sparstar Promotions, Hollywood Park Casino. For those of you who don't know where it's at, it's right there off of Prairie and Century Boulevard. It's you know, of course, east of the LAX, about a couple miles east of the LAX, Hollywood Park Casino. We got Hector Salinas fighting Mario Delgado. Both of them, you know, pretty good fighters, man. Mario Delgado is a banger. You know, he was gonna go fight in Bama as his pro debut. Unfortunately, his opponent, Mr. Lott, got injured and had to back out of the fight. Mario Delgado stepped back down to the amateurs to fight Hector Salinas because he's been wanting to fight him. It just never happened, you know, with their schedules always being different and whatnot. So, you know, but those two guys are definitely, you know, guys to look after. Hector Salinas has got a couple more fights before he decides to go pro. You know, but Mario's going to put on a great show. Another guy is Tigran. You know, he's a 235 banger dude. You know, he trains with Olympian wrestlers, you know, Armenian Olympian wrestlers. He's all into boxing, karate, you know, Muay Thai. I mean, just a killer, bro. I mean, just he's an up-and-coming guy. He's undefeated. He's undefeated in Muay Thai. He's in Vegas right now. I know we're going to interview him later, but he's in Vegas right now doing, or, you know, I don't know if he's fighting or if he's coaching the Karate International Championships right now.
Nice.
So he's everywhere, but that's definitely a guy to look after. You know, there's also Marcos Bonilla.
You guys
know Marcos Bonilla. He's been on your show before.
Yes, definitely. Good guy. You know, we like him a lot
later. Yeah, dude. 145 pounds. Just a bad dude, man. You know what I mean? Loves the bang. He's a great boxer, dude. He's great in the clinch. If he puts you against a cage, dude, he's going to hurt you. You know what I mean? And, you know, he's also, you know, I'm trying to, you know, he's looking at Bama or maybe a couple other guys locally. The guy can sell a lot of tickets, you know what I mean? And everybody likes him, so. So, you know, he has a lot of doors open for him.
And you said it's at 145?
Yeah, Bonilla's 145. Tigran is 135. Mario Delgado and Hector Salinas are at 170, 175.
Well, you know what? I got a 45er that's looking to get on that Bama card, too, to see if Brett can make it happen.
Yeah, dude. We can, Tanner Chapman. We're trying to get him and Marcos Bonilla to go at it for a while now, and he's agreed. You know, Tanner wants to fight Marcos. Marcos wants to fight him. You know, Tanner's got a couple other things lined up that he's doing in Miami. Marcos is ready to go pro now, so it's like, you know what I mean, we're trying to work that out. But I know Marcos definitely does not want to wait for Tanner. He does want him, but he doesn't want to wait for Tanner, which is smart. So. We're trying to work that out. But if you got a guy that's ready to go, 145, and Marcos Bonilla agrees to it.
I got a 45-er. I'm not throwing a challenge out there. I'm just saying if Tanner Chapman doesn't want to step up, and I've been trying to get my boy on the Bama card, this might be the perfect opportunity for both fighters to be a good fight. You know, it's Isaac Velasco. He's 0-2 right now, but that doesn't speak about how good of a fighter he is.
Right. All right, cool deal, man. I mean, as long as you can sell tickets, you know the name of the game.
Oh yeah, Isaac's a big ticket seller. That's why when you say Marcos is a big ticket seller, and you know,
yes.
You know what? You got two Salvies going at it. That might get a little crazy.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, Marcos loves to put on a show, man. He's definitely he's a seller. You know what I mean? He's got that look about him and that poise.
Definitely.
He's in a market. Dude. He interviews very well. You know what I mean? So.
Highly marketable. I mean, he's the kind
yes,
of person that you want to get behind.
Yes, he is.
So, you know, you've been working in this business for a few years. Now you're playing a different role. How different is it than when it was when you were working on the commission side of it?
Oh, brother, it's totally different, man. You know, I started with the commission. I started with the commission, and I was pretty much doing just inspection and kind of helping in the back end and things like that and moved my way up. You know, now I'm a senior and lead inspector. You know, if I'm not doing like the senior inspector role, I'm doing lead shows. But it's so much different. I never saw I knew what it took on the back end. Excuse the planes, brother, because I live in Inglewood in Lenox, brother. So I live right by the airport.
All good.
What do you call it? So as soon as I switched over, you know, the back end stuff, you know, I just helped matchmaking a little bit here and there. I mean, it's so different, man. You know, calling these fighters and dealing with them and their coaches and just different egos and different prides and different needs. It was just way different because in the commission side, they came to me and they listened to me. And they all, you know, they listened to, you know, what we asked of them and whatnot. They were easier to work with on that end, on the matchmaking end. You know what I mean? It was like if I had a disease or something, you know, you call them and nobody wants to hear from you because you're begging them for fights. Begging them for fights, you know what I mean, and that was in the beginning. You know, now thankfully, you know, I've got a chance to work with these guys little by little, and you know, now they come to me looking for fights. You know, it's a blessing, man. It's a blessing being in this sport, especially on the amateur level. You know, I want to double in pro with the guys that I've worked with as amateurs. I'm not really trying to look for pros, you know what I mean, or pick up pros or anything. Just the guys that I know are amateurs that I've worked with as Ammies, you know, I want to help them transition into pros. And even if they don't choose me to be the manager in the pro level, well, that's fine. I just want to teach them, like, you know what I mean, what it takes to be a pro, dude. Like, to be a pro, you could be a pro. Anybody can be a pro, anything. You know what I mean? But if you're not making money, then really what are you? You're just a fighter, you know what I mean? If you want to be a successful fighter, well, then you got to have a following. You got to be marketable. You got to sell tickets. You know, you got to be able to pick the fights that move you up the ranks and then get you that belt and then move on to bigger and better organizations and then maybe one day you end up at the UFC, you know what I mean? Or whatever. You don't end up there, but you have a good career and you make some money and then you start your own school because you had a big enough following, you know? But to get there, you got to start somewhere as an amateur. And I firmly believe – yeah, go ahead, sorry.
No, I won't. I apologize. Go ahead and finish your statement.
No, well, I'm just, you know, I believe that as an amateur, that's where you start, bro. With your social media marketing, with your following, with your fan base, whatever little niche you're going to have, you know what I mean? Start with your sponsorships on the local level, and then, you know, you carry that momentum into the pros. You know what I mean?
You talk about, you know, the progression of a career. You got a fighter, he comes to you and he says, you know, look, I would prefer to fight M1 and or EFC Africa or 1FC, you know, I don't want to stay in the States. I'm not worried about Zuffa. How do you address that with him? Do you tell him, hey, look, this is the right path for you, then take it, or you need to stay here and build your name here? How would you handle that if a fighter doesn't want to fight here in America?
Well, then he better have some connections. I mean, you know what I mean? You better have an uncle that lives in that country or something, you know, or he's just going to have to learn this is a building game. Maybe 10, 15 years ago, you could fight in any league you wanted if you were a badass. Now, it's saturated. You know what I mean? You have to stand out.
Yeah. Well, and the reason
you have to
sell
tickets. Yeah.
You're seeing guys, obviously the older generation of the Jeff Munsons and the DJ Lindermans who, you know, consistently fought worldwide a couple times a year so they could stay active and get paychecks. But now you're seeing guys, you know, like Lee Morrison going over to M1 and Julian Williams going over to M1, not only because the pay is now on par, if not better than Zuffa, actually, but they're getting to fight a lot more. And I know you're starting to see more fighters step away from the big three because of the inactivity that they have. with fighters, if you're not one of the top seven or eight, you're not going to fight three or four times a year. So that's why I'm bringing it up. You know, with today's market, I agree, is flooded. But if you're, you know, five, six, seven fights as a pro in Southern California and you've cleaned house and you're not getting a call from, you know, Zuffa or World Series or Bellator, you know, would you not think that's a good, you know, way for a fighter to have a good career is to just travel internationally and fight that way?
Well, I think, you know, I think if he has the right management, you know, and the right people behind him working for him, if you got a career, like, okay, you got a guy like Egren, you know, he's 11-0 in Muay Thai. He's won all kinds of wrestling things all around the United States. He's 3-0 in camo now. You know what I mean? He's going to be, you know, he's fighting May 3rd. It's going to be another tough fight. And he's going to be an amateur. They've decided for another year, okay? He turns pro. This kid's going to clean house. Let's say he's 7-0, 5-0, 6-0, whatever. At that point, he's going to have a big following because of the momentum I'm going to build for him as an amateur. When he goes pro, he's going to have a couple of these guys lined up wanting him because they know this kid can sell 100 tickets. And then I guarantee you he's 3-4, 5-6-0, whatever. We can take him anywhere. We can take him anywhere because he's already dominated the LA market, the California market, and around here. You know, I mean, it's because his management, his coaches from International Sports Union, you know, and he's Armenian, and you know those guys, they're a powerhouse. You know, if a guy is 5-0 here, and has kicked ass, has kicked butt and taken names, then and he hasn't gotten recognition, it's because he doesn't have good management.
Okay, yeah, but you see, too, also now there's other options besides going the UFC or Bellator or what you're finding. You look at 1FC. They just got Rich Franklin as one of their top guys now. And, that's going to bring some legitimacy to them. Not that they weren't legitimate before, but now people are going to want to go there because Rich Franklin's calling the shots.
Well, actually, Matt Humes is still the president of operations. So, and we know he's produced how many legends and world championship fighters, and including right now, he's still Dimitri's coach. But, you know, but I agree that is with Ben Askren going over there. Obviously, you know, you have guys like Arnott, the game, Leopold, and you have Phil Baroni. You know, they're building. They've just picked up a couple of guys out of Russia and Dazakhstan. They're building the leagues. Obviously, EFC is another league that is really tearing it up. Anybody who follows the South African League, dude, Ronnie Potts is now in the UFC. I mean, there are backdoor ways, but I think today for a fighter who wants to stay active and make a name and make a paycheck, you gotta sign small 1-2 fight deals and travel, get paid.
You gotta do the low to mid level pro clubs. You have to.
Yep.
You have to. Unless Dana White is your flipping cousin or something, you're not going to get there like that. I mean, you're not. Dude, you're not going to get there like that. I'm sorry, dude. You know what I mean? And you don't deserve it. You don't deserve to make, you know, $1 million right off the bat. When there's dudes that are out there getting their flipping brains beat in, you know what I mean, for years, you have to earn your bones. You have to earn your bones on the local level, just like you did when you're Emmy. You know, guess what? When you turn pro, the grass ain't green yet, buddy. You still got to earn your bones some more, dude. And then you work your way up. And when your time comes, and if it comes, bro, just run with it. You know, but dude, the UFC is not the end all or beginning all of everything.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, guys can have so much fun in the local level and make good money, dude. If you got a good deal, you know what I mean, with a nice purse, and you got your sponsorship, and you got your little percentage on ticket sales, you know, and fighting every 3 months or whatever, you know, I mean, you can make money off of this. And then, you know, and then invest your money into your own little school or to, you know, doing private classes or whatever. Guys are finding ways to make money out there, you know what I mean, not just hoping that UFC comes knocking on their door.
Well, you know, I have a friend who's a UFC fighter. I'm not going to mention any names, but he was telling me that, you know, while he enjoys, you know, being in the UFC because that was his ultimate goal, he misses the days where he could call a local promoter and be like, hey, you know what, I want to fight. You know, the UFC, he's fighting once or twice a year, and, you know, on the local level, he's fighting 3 or 4 times a year. So, you know, he misses those days. He likes the money he's getting now, but, you know, he misses fighting. He's a fighter. That's what he does.
Exactly. Exactly, man. You take away the fame and lights and money, dude, what's left is just the fighter, bro. And that fighter wants to perform, dude. Not just practice. He wants to perform. You know what I mean? He wants to put his, you know, showcase his talent out there for everybody. And it's really hard, you know what I mean, when you're doing it once or twice a year. You know, you only get to, you know.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, we all obviously have friends, and so we don't need to name drop, but, you know, I know that just recently somebody who just signed one contract with M1 and one contract with Ruff, both contracts, it's 4 fights in 2 years for Ruff, 4 fights in 18 months for M1. You know, I mean, that's about as great of a long-term kind of contract that you can get 2 years or less right now at a major organization. You know, obviously, you know, those two companies are over international, but if you can lock down a deal with something like that regionally to where you could build a fan base and rock California in less than 2 years or less than 18 months, then you could jump to a regional show maybe back east and do a couple of one-on-one super fight contracts kind of deal, you know, and then maybe look for a home that, you know, when people start bidding for your business. I mean, I love the fact as management that you don't believe that Zuffa's the end-all be-all. I think that's important. I hear too many guys say, oh, I don't care, you know, what Kenny Garner made. Kenny Garner made $200,000 for a title fight in M1. I care.
Right.
Okay, that's serious money. How many
that's
you have
money, dude. And imagine in sponsorships, bro.
$100,000 sponsorship.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. Just for weighing in and showing up to bang.
Yeah, and now granted,
it was
an oil company, but, you know, an oil company stepped up. I think they were from the Emerald Emirates or Abu Dhabi, one of those countries, and they paid him $100,000 sponsorship, plus what else he got. So he walked out $300,000 cold hard cash for a title fight.
Right.
I mean, how many guys in the UFC are making that kind of money?
And if they are, it took them a while to get there, and they're making
exactly.
You know, they're so.
But you know what?
You know what?
Let me stop you guys real quick because Skip, you reminded me of something. Saying Abu Dhabi, I want to give a big shout out to Joaquin Ocampo to go to Abu Dhabi. 12 years old, just dominated. I mean, for those of you who don't know, this is Joe Camacho's nephew. This kid is
cool.
A rising star. And just
dude, when he's ready to come fight for Camel, man, let me know, bro.
Oh, bro, he's already signed a takedown, bro.
All right. Invite me to his face. I'll come watch, man.
Definitely. But big shout-out to Joaquin, the Machine Ocampo. Good job out there, brother. Proud of you. We're all proud of you. Man,
good
I was
job,
up at
little man.
2 o'clock in the morning
good
and watched Dad's Facebook post, you know, to see how he was doing. But changing directions here, you got some big stuff going on in EPT. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been working here. You know, I got to give a shout-out to Tony Palias, man, who's the founder and he's the president of Sparstar Promotions here in Los Angeles. Great organization. I've worked in many different organizations of Camel, all of them in Southern California, from here to San Diego and back down and up. And I've got to say, dude, Sparstar is, you know, I would say, you know, top three, brother. You know, you have U of MMA and you have them. You know, and you have Heather White and what is her club in San Diego? I forget what it's called, but you know, Sparstar dude is you know the way he runs his shows. You know, I really like Tony for this since I met him. He let me help him. You know, find I had a couple fighters I want to fight, put them on the card. That's pretty much how I started doing matchmaking with him. And you know, and then started working with other promotions and what have you. But I kept my loyalty towards him. He's heard about El Paso. I've told him about it. You know, I grew up in El Paso. I have a lot of friends that live out there and family. Yeah, exactly, dude. I'm going to make him a sponsor, I swear. But,
you got to make him a sponsor, man.
Yeah, it's great food, man. Bad for you, but great food. I did my homework out there in MMA. They have a couple pro shows that run through there maybe 2 or 3 times a year, and they do pretty well. They do really good. They have no amateur shows in that city. There's a lot of MMA camps, a lot of jiu-jitsu camps and karate and what have you. You know, I want to bring MMA there, dude. I want to bring an amateur
you know, MMA club there. So, you know, we're doing all of our legalities. It's not easy in Texas. It's way harder in Texas than it is here in California to get your license and stuff. So, you know, we're just getting our ducks in a row, but we'll get there. And we plan to do shows out there, you know, hopefully every 2 to 3 months, get a little tourney style going. And again, taking my beliefs into turning these amateurs into pros and just helping them.
Let me know what I can do to help. You know, my family is very politically connected out there. You know, right. they got some big businesses out there, and you know, that's actually the opposite side of the family that you met my other primo, that has the fighters. So
yes.
You know, my cousin was a mayor pro tem, and he's still involved in politics there in the actual city of El Paso.
Right.
And, you know, he's a pretty big heavyweight out there.
He's cool, man. I actually keep in contact with him. He kind of wants updates on what's going on and stuff. He's a really cool cat, man. He's very passionate about MMA and bringing it to El Paso, which is great. You know what I mean? I need a guy like him out there. Kind of keeps me focused and me hungry. You know, I'm working on a lot of different things, but Texas is definitely my goal. Tony Bordillas and I want to go down there, and we're going to do El Paso, Corpus Christi, you know, South Padre. We want to hit those during spring breaks, you know what I mean? We'll show 1 week in Corpus Christi and then get down to South Padre and do another show there during spring break. And then continue with El Paso. You know, we want to get a lot of those local cities that are around El Paso involved, Las Cruces, Deming, you know, and New Mexico. And you know, if you go east more into Texas, Sierra Blanca and what have you. You know, there's a lot of prideful guys out there, man. They're just banging. You know, they're out there practicing every day, and they get no platform to show their, you know, their talent. So, you know, that's all I want to do is give them a chance, you know, to showcase their talent.
Do we have a time frame for the show in El Paso? Because, you know, Takedown wants to be a part of that.
For sure, dude. We're thinking about July or August. You know, we have another Spar Star. You know, we have May 3rd Spar Star, and then we have another one in August. So to be honest with you, if we don't do it in July, we're going to hit it in September after our August one. You know what I mean? Trying to do two shows in 1 month, it gets really crazy. So, you know, that's our goal, is to definitely hit it though over the summer. Now there's a couple different areas we want to do. We could do the McGoffin Theater, amphitheater, which is badass, man. You know, it sits out there on the outside. It's kind of like a little arena, just like nestled in the mountains. I mean, it's really, really nice. They do Viva El Paso there and stuff like that, or they have Bucanas. It's another huge event center. We're looking at a couple different venues. You know,
did you look at Talking Stick yet?
Where?
I believe it's called Talking Stick.
I haven't. Is it a casino?
Yeah, on the Tiwa.
That's the thing with the casino, because with the casinos, then you can't bring the commission. You know what I mean? I want it to be sanctioned by the commission. I want these guys to get recognized fights so that they can turn pro. You know what I mean? You know, that's just kind of like my goal. My goal is to turn these guys pro and to find out if this is what they want to do or not. You know what I mean? Give them the platform to do it, and that's it.
Anthony, are you going to these cards down there that you guys are talking about doing, is this going to be like, you're going to bring half the card in, or is this going to be all locals? Is this going to be just locals, half locals from your area and half locals from the rest of the country? How do we see the matchups going?
All right, well, you know, from a business perspective, you don't really want to bring anybody over there because they're not going to sell tickets. But, you know, from the entertainment perspective, if I bring in 2 or 3 guys from L.A., say my top guys from L.A., my top Emmy guys from L.A., bring them, face them off against the top El Paso guys. I mean, you could sell that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You create a little city rivalry. You know what I mean? So that's what we plan to do. I plan to bring 2 guys and 1 girl to this, my first event. You know, and I'm hoping I can bring Big John McCarthy or Herb Dean. You know what I mean? You bring out a big name out there. Those are my boys. I've worked with them.
Mike Beltran.
Here. Yeah, there you go, Mike Beltran. I would love to have Mike Beltran, dude. I would love it. You know what I mean? Bring him down. Bring in Heffa down there, bro. Bring two LA guys, one chick from LA, bring them out there, face them off against some tough, you know, they could be from anywhere around there, Las Cruces, you know what I mean, El Paso, whatever, somebody that could bang with these people and put them as the last 3 fights.
Yeah.
You know, and,
I like what you're doing. I agree. El Paso has been successful with the pro events they've put on there, even though some companies have been one and done there, and I don't understand why with the turnout. Has to be mismanagement on the back end. But, you know, honestly, the closest league, I was just telling Ray, is Premier Combat in San Antonio that even would be competition. And, I mean, that's quite a drive. That's 8 hours, you know. So it's really, you have a beautiful basket waiting just to be picked up off the ground right there, and you can run with it. I'm telling you right now, we have a team down there. I hope you put us on your press release list and let us help promote this and push it for you, because I tell you what, I love the concept that you're going to do, and I think especially with you going with the concept L.A. versus El Paso, oh, man, are you going to sell some tickets?
Oh, my family will go just for that, because all the trash I talk about how good L.A. is compared to
right, and that's the thing. You know, that's the thing. As soon as I was talking to this fighter, you know, it's funny, there's one kid, he was like 16 that I met, and he wants to bang so bad in El Paso. And I'm like, dude, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to – I'll find a way to get you in there. Even if it's a pancreation style deal, I'll get you in there. And this kid was like, and bring one of those vatos from L.A. too, and I'll knock his ass out. And I'm like, oh, dude, that's what I need to do. That's what I need to do, bro. Yeah. These guys are hungry, man. And when I told them to bring in somebody from L.A., everybody wanted a piece of them. Everybody was like, dude, I'm down to bang with them, bro. Bring them. You know what I mean? Because they want that under their belt. They want that under their belt, man.
That's a huge notch for an amateur on either side of the ring, you know, whether it's the blue corner or the red corner. Yeah. I fought as an amateur. I was fighting competition from across the country to prove how good I was. You know, I love the concept, and I think you got a home run right there.
You know, like you were saying, Skippy, you've seen some promotions that are one and done, especially in a town like El Paso. You have to do it right. You know, the ticket prices have to be right. You know, El Paso.
And let me tell you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. My theory with the one and dones in El Paso, I grew up there, bro. And you know, just to get a little bit, I gangbanged there, brother. You know, I regret the decisions I made. I got into trouble down there. But I know the streets, bro. That's where I grew up, you know what I mean? And I know, dude, you can't go in there with the big flashy lights and pot of gold. You can't. You got to start with the grassroots. You start from the bottom, from the dirt, bro, and you work your way up. You build a relationship with each fighter that you sign on to the organization, and you teach them how to sell tickets. You teach them how to get the local people involved. You know what I mean? These guys are trying to come out here and just be flashy. Like, we want the local community involved. You know what I mean? Local sponsors. And this is, you know, we're going to do this every 2 to 3 months. We're here to stay. You know what I mean? That's why I want to do the amateurs. We're going to do pro, too. But my main concern is the amateurs. That's where, you know, frankly, that's where the money's at. And that, to me, is where the fun's at and where the talent's at, you know?
I agree. And I, it's funny you mentioned about the way you come out there and support the local community. I'm not going to say a name, but I promise you, you guys might even know who it is by the time I'm done telling this story. But a promotion from out in your area decided to go back east just outside of Texas and put on a show. And they came in big guns, slick back hair, you know, California money. And they walked into town. We're going to put on this event. We're going to take these fighters. So the three local promoters there have been doing it for many, many a year, set back and said, go for it. You know, here you go, big guy. So the week of the fights, all three promoters announced that they were putting on an event, took every car, every fighter off his card. The guy ate $70,000, had to close his doors, you know, for that event.
Yeah.
He now is now working on the West Coast only and no longer reaching out. But it's about – they were bringing in West Coast sponsors. They were bringing in this big advertisement, this big, we're California. You can't do
that. Nobody
cares,
bro. Nobody cares.
You have to go in there and support the local theme.
Especially in the state of Texas.
They're so proud, dude. Oh, my God.
It's Texas versus the rest of the country. They're the rest of the country still.
Thank you. If you ask them, dude, it's the United States and then there's Texas. You know what I mean?
my mom is from EPT, and you know she's like, you know, anybody can become an American. You have to be born a Texan.
Yeah, exactly, dude. You know, and my mom still lives out there. My stepdad, man, he's been, you know, he's my pops, man. He's in the military, so he was stationed out there, and that's, you know, we ended up out there. He's actually in Afghanistan still. He's been out there for like the last 10 years on and off.
So my mom gets back safe. Oh, he's good, man. He comes back and visits, and you know, he reenlists because he likes to serve his country, man. And sure. And you know, he's been in there for I think over 36 years. You know, so he's happy doing what he's doing until he can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I have one of my cousins. He just got boots on the ground in Afghanistan this morning.
Wow, yeah, dude. So you know, there's a lot of guys out there, man, that are doing that. You know, so my and I take off my hat to the military. But you know, the way we planning to do this is just grassroots marketing, man. I mean, going out to the flyers, going to UTEP. You know, my sister ran, you know, for the UTEP Miners, dude. She was a track star there. You know, she had a full paid scholarship there. She knows a lot of people there. My other sister Jessica, she still lives there. She goes to college out there. She's involved with a lot of people. You know, we're gonna hit Fort Bliss and all that stuff. You know, I plan to get a couple soldiers on our card. You know, and when I mean grassroots, we're just gonna hit the community and do word, you know, word of mouth. We plan to do our weigh-ins. You know, at the one of their new malls the day before the fights, we're gonna just do walk-up sales and just do it right there at the weigh-ins with the radio station there.
Oh, the new mall, not the Lee Trevino mall.
Yeah, no, not the. You know, we're gonna get the, there's a new mall on the west side. It's pretty bad, dude. It's like an outdoor mall and it's huge. We got this huge little area. You know what I mean? It's like a staging area. I figured we could do the weigh-ins right there, man. Invite that local radio station to come over.
After party at Club 101.
All that shit. Dude, I don't even know if that's open anymore, but.
Well, that's
all
how I
Yeah. All
hey, Anthony, just because I know we're gonna have some other folks on the show tonight. Before we run out of time with you, whichever, I don't know how much longer we're going to go before we jump to the next guest, but take this time right now, man. Anything you want to get out, any social media information, any team information, any contact info, whatever, any sponsors, whatever you want to shout out, talk about, whatever, you take some time, it's yours.
All right, cool deal, man. I mean, first and foremost, man, I want to thank God, man, you know what I mean? For giving me the mental capacity and physical capacity to do what I do. You know what I mean? He's blessed me with a creative mind, and I'm thankful for that. You know what I mean? He's blessed. I'm an accountant also, so he's blessed me with a mind to do math, you know, things that he's given me specific, you know, tools that I can do to feed my family, and you know, so I do things that I love. So I want to give everything to him first. And secondly, of course, my family. My mom, you know what I mean, has always been there, supported me through everything and all my crazy ideas. She's always been there, supported me. She, you know, she lives in Texas. Evelyn Calix, I love you, mama. You know, my stepdad, my sisters, my brothers, they've always been there and supported me. My grandmama has always been there supporting me, brother, through all my, you know, different ventures and ideas. You know, my girlfriend, of course, who's going to be my wife, my fiance, she's also my partner in this. She helps me with everything, with all my social media stuff. She helps me call the guys and remind them of their fights and see if they're on weight and, you know, making sure they're updating their different social media outlets and they're thanking their sponsors and what have you. You know, I want to thank the coaches at International Sports Union, you know, the Armenian Army. Those guys, you know, have believed in me, you know, and they've given me a chance to work with their top elite fighters. And, you know, and kind of help them and guide them through amateur careers, which has given me a lot of exposure, you know. You know, and, of course, I want to thank Camel. Dude. Camel, who's always been there for me. GT, Brad, David Denkin, you know, those guys have always been there supporting me through my ventures, and they've always had my backs. And, you know, Brad and David Denkin have taught me everything I've known, you know about Camel and the rules and especially Brad, man, he made sure I knew everything, you know, and JT's always had my back, man. Great group. I mean, we got an awesome team. Camel's going to be around for a long time. There's always been organizations that are trying to take over and stuff, but JT and Brad and MD have always fought it off, and you know, and we've always come out on top, thank God. We're going to be around for a while, bro, putting on good shows. You know, and you know, just all the organizations that I work with, man, House of Champions, PKG, all the guys at UFC, Gym, 10th Planet. You know, I work with a lot of guys.
Hey,
you know,
Anthony, yep. before you know, go any further, you mentioned, you know, Camo and the competition and people trying to step in there. How important do you think it was to have that rule change, to change the few things they did? to stay ahead of the competition?
Well, I know a lot of guys didn't like the rash guards. You know what I mean? A lot of fighters didn't like the rash guards, which was okay. They didn't like the rash guards, but that's what TSAC wanted them to do. If I believe, as a marketing point of view, that was the rash guards was a really good thing for Camo, because every fight that you see, every picture on social media, anywhere that the Camo fighters and all these fights up and down California, you would have these Camo rash guards. Camo, 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 Camo. So I think, from a business perspective, it was a very important tool for Camo to grow. We had these rash guards on these fighters in Camo. Not everybody now knows Camo. As opposed to nobody had the rash guards, nobody would know who Camo was, because nobody would have cared to ask at a Camo event. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Now, when it changed, now fighters, I don't know if there was like an increase of fighters joining Camo because that was a change. A lot of guys love Camo with or without rash guards. And if you want to, you know, if you want to fight in a safe organization, which means your opponent is getting blood tested, he is being weighed. You know what I mean? He is being, you know, everything is being governed, you know. That's a safe way to fight. You know, then you're going to fight for Camo.
Cool.
Cool. Well, I'm
a fan, so. I was just going to say, I'm a fan, dude. So you got me hooked before we ever talked tonight. I think what they've done is great. I would like to see more, you know, sanctioning bodies or commissions, whatever the region has, step up and be more like Camo, especially here in Oregon. Trust me, I'd be way happy.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, and I tell a lot of these guys, because I meet these great fighters that they're 0-0 in Camo, like their debuters, but I know that they've had smoker fights, they fought in casinos, you know, all these unsanctioned fights, and I'm just honest with them. I'm like, dude, you didn't take a blood test, so that means your opponent didn't take a blood test. What if that dude's had AIDS? What if he had hepatitis? Or something other crazy disease out there, bro, that you don't want to find out that you got now because this dude was bleeding on top of you.
Oh,
you know what I mean? I mean, anything, dude. Or what if the guy was 7 pounds heavier than you, or 10, 12 pounds? I've seen him be 15 pounds heavier. You know what I mean? And now you signed up, you don't want to let your friends down, and then you go out there and you break your cheekbone or something crazy happens to you. Then you're going to regret it, dude. You know, you're going to regret it. And that's why it's very important for these fighters to learn. Don't just take the easy way, bro. Just join a sanctioned, whatever city and state you're from, join the sanctioned, you know, party and do it the right way and build your way up the ranks, go pro and have fun, make some money.
Well, you know what? Speaking about Camo, we got Mario Delgado coming on next. One of the guys that you referred us to. No,
right.
We want to keep you on the line, Anthony, while we're interviewing him. You want to jump in and ask anything or say anything, feel free. But let's get Mario on.
All right. Give the guy a call.
I think Skippy's bringing up into you right now. Why don't you talk a little bit about what Mario's got coming up next?
Well, Mario Delgado is fighting Hector Salinas at 170 pounds. May 3rd, Sparstar, Hollywood Park Casino. Both of them are bangers, man. Hector has very tall, long arms. Mario Delgado is, you know, the wrestler type body, and he likes to clinch and take down and bang you out, you know. Hector Salinas, he's a tough guy. He wants to break you down little by little. He likes to stay outside. So it's going to be a really good fight. It's going to be interesting to see how they play each other. You know, one wants to come inside and bang, the other one's going to want to stay outside. So
now this particular fight, did you matchmake it, or are they both under your management?
I've helped Mario, you know, here and there, and I've given him ideas and kind of guided him and what have you. So, and Hector also, you know what I mean? He's always, you know, kind of asking for guidance, and him and I
cool.
talk. And things like that, and I'm the one that set it up. I matchmaked it.
All right, good. Well, you know, definitely we got Mario on the line now. Mario, say what's up to the millions upon millions of listeners.
Hello.
Mario.
What up, man?
Bro?
Yeah, what's up? Yeah.
So you know what? When Anthony gets a little background on you, why don't you tell the listeners who you are?
I'm pretty much just number one amateur coming up in the sport, trying to go pro, you know, willing to fight whoever, whenever, and trying to take this up to the next level, trying to do it all, high-level wrestling, boxing, BJJ, all that stuff.
I'm fighting
Hector Salinas, and
how big is the fight coming up, you know, you fighting for Sparstar, knowing the guys who came out of this organization into the pros?
I'm sorry, say it again?
How big is this fight coming up, fighting for Sparstar, knowing the guys that came out of this organization into the pros? How big do you feel this fight is?
Oh, this is a big fight because, you know, every fight is your, you know, like the fight of your life, you know? I take every fight serious, so, yeah. This is my last amateur fight, too, so, you know, I'm coming off 2 first-round knockouts. I'm trying to keep it going, and I'm going to take it to the pro circuit, too. I'm going to start knocking guys out at the pro circuit, too, so, yeah, it's very
This dude is vicious, man. This dude is vicious, bro. I'm telling you, dude, in the clinch, he's vicious. He'll throw you, dude, control you, and pound you out, brother. So it's going to be very fun to see him fight May 3rd.
I mean, I can't wait. I got my booth set up. So, I mean, I'll be there. And I can't wait for it. Yeah. This right here is probably the most stacked card they've had. And that's saying a lot because every card is stacked.
Yeah, man. And I'm really excited. I'm ready.
Well, what's your record right now?
I'm really my camel record, or I don't know. What do you mean?
Oh yeah, let's go with your camel record.
Yeah, I think my camel record is a little messed up on there too. I'm like 5-2 or something like that, 6-2,
That's a good record. That's, you know,
that's a really good record. I mean, that's,
yeah. My only 2 losses are like some bullshit. Like, I don't know. Like, I got there's like a draw where I lost, and one of them I had to stop because my shoulder came out or whatever. I separated my shoulder, but both my losses have been avenged, so I don't know. In my head, I'm undefeated. So,
okay, so.
Yeah.
That's a real fighter, dog.
Exactly.
Yeah. that's how I feel about my record, pretty much.
Now, with that being said, which is a fight that you learned the most about yourself with?
I learned it from every fight, but my last two, I've been a lot more confident in my hand. So, yeah, I'm trying to, you know, do it all. Like, when I first came into the sport, I just out-wrestled everybody, plain and simple. Just out-wrestled everybody, get them to the ground, beat them up. I had a lot of decisions, and I want to be, you know, more of an exciting fighter, so I started, you know, really working on my striking, and it's been paying off because I'm knocking guys out, so trying to keep it going. And it's a lot easier to knock guys out than grinding them out for 3 rounds. It's a lot easier to go in there and knock them out.
Exactly. And you get to fight a lot faster.
Yeah, the fans, every time I fight, I get the fans, like, up and running. I'm telling you, I'm intense. I'm serious about this. I'm trying to get paid. I'm really broke, you know what I mean? So, like, I'll pretend like this is for a lot of money. I'm already in the UFC in my mind.
I'm fighting
for millions and millions of dollars in my head.
Where are you fighting out of?
I pretty much fight, like, you know, I train at the UFC gym in Torrance. I work at a punishment training center in Huntington. And, you know, I'm affiliated with, you know, Tracy Hess, Subfighter, and also affiliated with Team Body Shop, Antonio McKee. That's who I started with. But my last 2 fights, I've been training on my own, to be honest, and a lot with Tracy Hess. But other than that, I'm either, you know, at punishment or, you know, training on my own. You know what I mean? So.
Well, I mean all those camps are excellent camps. Tracy Hess, great guy. He's a genius. Antonio McKee, I mean, wow. I mean, you know, it doesn't get any better than that there.
Yeah, and I'm doing, like, clinics with Tito Ortiz, so, you know, I have champions around me, and I've talked to the champions, and, you know, That's what I'm trying to do, and that's what I'm about. So, yeah.
So what weight are you fighting at?
This is going to be at 170. But I've been fighting at 185, so.
So what do you know about your opponent? You know, how do you see this fight going?
I don't know too much about him. I just know he did like some. He's like some judo guy. I don't know too much about him, but yeah, I met him the first time I met him. Like I was training at Hermosa Beach, and I just happened to see this guy. That's the first time I met him. Like last week, he came up to me, you know, with his girlfriend and his kid or whatever. But yeah, I don't know too much about him. I didn't believe he wanted to fight me, to be honest. And, you know, Anthony came at me with the fight, said he signed it. I didn't believe it. He showed me pictures and everything. I was like, what? This guy actually wants to fight me. Because for a minute, I couldn't find anyone to fight me, especially at the amateur circuit. So I was like, all right, I'm trying to go pro. So my last little fight happened because, you know, the guy pulled out. So what I'm trying to do, you know, so I'm back at the amateur circuit, and they got me this fight, so. I'm just taking it. So I don't know too much, but I'm just doing this last amateur fight before I go pro. So, yeah.
Yeah, dude, if you want to fight, bro, if you want to fight and you come to me saying you want to fight, I will find you a fight, brother. I don't care if I got to bring somebody here from Texas. I will find somebody.
Yeah.
And Mario wants to stay active, you know what I mean? Mario wants to stay active. He was going to go fight pro. He was going to fight Joe Lott. You know, they both worked it up a lot, you know what I mean? They got a lot of anger towards each other. They were going to bang it out, and Joe Lott, unfortunately, got hurt. That's the name of the game. It happens. Oh, well. We can't blame the guy. We can't hate on him. He got hurt. So now we're waiting for Joe Lott. We're going to give Joe Lott the respect that he deserves, and we're going to wait for him to get better, and then we're going to bang it out as a debut pros. You know what I mean? But this is the last chance, you know what I mean? Because Mario has to move on. He has to go pro. He has to start growing. You know, he came back down to fight Hector Salinas because they, you know, Hector wanted him for a while. Mario, you know, was on his own path, but you know, Hector was lucky. Hector gets to fight the guy he wants to fight. So let's see what happens. You know what I mean?
Cool. I mean, it sounds like both fights are going to be explosive fights, and you know, hopefully Lott heals up so we can make this happen. But you know, you're fighting at 170, and. I ask this of everybody, what's the thing you miss the most when you're in training camp, you know, or when you're cutting weight or something that you give up during training camp?
Yeah, I give up a lot. Like, I'm,
What's the one thing that you miss the most?
Man, I miss going out and, like, you know, going out and, like, trying to get chicks and, you know, going out and being, like, doing what normal people do on the weekend. That's what I miss doing, but, you know, it's all good.
But come on, bro. Being a fighter, you got to have chicks lined up once that fight is done.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, during training camp and all that stuff, I cut all that stuff out when it's just real. I cut a lot of stuff out, like, you know, like I'm really strict on my diet.
Oh, yeah.
It's mandatory. It's mandatory, brother. It's mandatory.
Yeah.
G-Camp rules, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Now, as a manager, Anthony came into this business with a lady already. I came into this business single.
Oh man.
I mean, it was wild for me in the beginning.
Yeah.
Women,
yeah, I can't imagine.
You would have thought I was the fighter. I was getting more females than the fighters were. Like,
well, they like the power.
Oh, yeah.
I think women like power more than they like lights. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, definitely. And not to mention, when they're in training camp, they can't do anything. I'm not training.
Right.
I can do whatever I want.
Right. You're there to satisfy their needs. Customer service.
But since then,
yeah,
I've settled down a lot. So, I mean, that's before. No, that was way before.
Yeah. You're way happier now, right? I mean, there's nothing like a good queen on your side, bro. Someone that you can lean up on and share your ideas, and you know they got your back. You know what I mean. You find one of those
definitely.
Dudes, you gotta hang up your hat, you know, and just be a good boy. I know you're a good boy, man. I've seen you out there, dog. You know.
Oh, exactly. All because she's always with me too. That's why.
Oh well, yeah, I know. Yeah.
But yeah, I could say that because she's in another room right now.
She's in. Yeah. I'm not gonna even agree with you, big dog. I got her back. I gotta see her. I gotta see her again at some point, probably May 3rd. You know what I mean? So,
Okay,
right.
Mario.
What's
your
up?
Dream fight. Your dream fight. Anybody in history. Who do you want to fight?
Man, whoever. I don't care. As long as the price is right. Straight up.
Well, Mario's willing to... Mario, dude, is one of these guys. He's very easy to manage, brother. He you could tell him, you want to fight this guy? He's down, bro. If the situation's right, bro, you know, and it's a fair... You know, situation, he's down, bro. He's very, he's not picky. He's hungry, bro, and he's ready. He's fight ready, dude. You can call him right now, and you want to fight him, he's ready to go.
I never turned down a fight. I have not turned down a fight since, like, I got into this.
And you
straight
know,
up.
I'm listening to you, Mario. And you remind me of one of my fighters where he's ready to fight any time, you know. He just fought. Let's just say he just fought last night. Hey, bro, you know, they want you to fight in 3 days. All right, cool, let's do it. I'm like, well, oh, man, I mean, you know, yeah, we need to rest a little bit. Because, you know, I present everything to my fighters, whether it's something I think we should do or not. I present it to him, and I give him my opinion. And I have one particular fighter that he would fight every week if he could. He doesn't like turning down fights.
Yeah.
That's Mario.
Yeah, but I'm trying to get paid, too, you know. I'm trying to get paid also, you know.
Oh, exactly. And you know what? I understand, you know, guys are being humble, but a lot of times when they're humble, that's just an act. Because you have to believe in yourself. You have to think that you're the best fighter in the world.
Yep.
Yeah. Why
you go out there, bro? Yeah.
Why wouldn't you think
you got to go out there? Yep. You got to go out there with the right heart, dude, the right mind, the right focus. It takes a complete circle, brother. The fighter, the management, the team, the hype, it takes a complete circle, dude, for these guys. You know, these guys go out there and put it all, man. You know, it's very important that they have the right people behind them, brother, you know, and that they feel at home, because when they go in the battle, bro, you know, everything has to be perfect for these guys, you know what I mean? And that's what Gladiator Camp's here for, brother. We're dream builders, man. We're building monsters, bro. And we're building that momentum for them to go into the pros, man. Like, Mario Delgado is going to kill people, dude. This guy's gonna devastate people. He's going to destroy dreams, brother, in the pro scene. You're going to see him, bro. He is an exciting fighter. If you like to see some crazy just brawling and just, you know, ground and pounds, this is the fight to see, man.
Well, Mario,
you know,
he's
the guy to follow.
Mario, where was your last fight at?
Where was it?
Yeah,
your last fight.
It was at the Austin Center in Santa Ana against Teddy Cheatman. Or Freddie
Hollywood.
Cheatman.
It was against Hollywood.
He fought Hollywood.
You know,
yeah,
let me tell you a quick story about Hollywood. All right, as a lot of you guys know, I lost my leg about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So about a year ago, you know, I'm still walking on a cane. Freddie Hollywood was supposed to fight one of my guys. My guy got hurt while we were warming up. A table fell on his foot. He couldn't continue. You know, broke his toe. And
wow.
So he couldn't even walk. So Freddie goes, you know, they give him his due, you know, in the cage. And he's up there and he starts talking trash about my fighter, talking about he was afraid to fight him. That's why he let the table fall on his foot. Yeah. So I go up to the cage. Here I am on a cane with one leg. Toby Taghart, go in there, shut him up. You know, Toby was the announcer, so Toby opens the gate for me to go in there. I'm trying to go in there to shut him up. The camel officials, they stopped me from going in. And I'm like, okay, Freddie, come on out, bro, let's talk. Freddie was afraid to come out of the cage and talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what kind of fighter he is. I mean, he's supposed to be some badass, but he was afraid of an old, fat, crippled dude.
Yeah, I mean, I'm afraid of you too, big dog, so, yeah.
Just take my leg and run, bro. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. You know, he's a good guy, bro. I know him on a personal level, you know what I mean? Every fighter has his way, you know what I mean? Mario has his way, Marcos has his way, Tegan has his way. Everybody has their own way of functioning and the way they get themselves hyped. That's the way Teddy rolls, you know what I mean? He has to hype himself up, and he's Hollywood. You know what I mean? It's in his name, bro. He likes to hype up any fight. I know. I've talked to Teddy after that. I know that he has respect for your guy, and he didn't mean it like that. He was trying to hype up the fight, and I don't think he meant it to get that out of hand. You know, if you ask him, bro, he has respect for you and your fighter. You know what I mean? And just out of his defense,
oh, yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
know.
It's part of the game. It's part of the game.
But he should have held back and show. He should have held back a little bit and showed the guy some respect. I agree with you, and I think that if he could do it over, he would have done it. You know what I mean? It's just hype, dude. You know what I mean? But
oh, yeah.
But you know, you love your guy and you're gonna ride with him just like I do my guys. You know what I mean? And he got the dirty end of the stick, not knowing who you were. You know, and he should have showed you a little more respect, though. You know,
it's all good. I mean, I don't hold it personal. You know, this is all business. If he came up to me tomorrow and was like, "Hey, what's up, bro? You know, I'll shake his hand. We'll keep you cool." I mean,
yeah.
I've had.
And I'm sure he would. I'm sure he would. He's a good guy, dude. He's a family guy, believe it or not. He works hard. He trains hard, all that good stuff. I can't wait to see him fight again, bro. You know, we're trying to get him, I know a lot of guys are out there trying to get him a fight, but.
I mean, it's like, you know, like a classic example, you know, Isaac Velasco, his pro debut was against Fabian Gonzalez. The next day, me and Fabian were at SparStar getting drunk together.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like you know,
that's how it is, bro.
We were against each other the night before. The next night, you know, he comes over to where my table was, having to buy you a drink, and then I'm like, "Let me buy you a drink." And then next thing we know, you know, I don't know how big our tab is, but we're all faded.
Yeah, that's how it is, dude. It's a brotherhood, dude. I mean, we're all in the same boat, dude. At the end of the day, I mean, it's a small world, brother. You know that. You know, we all, you know, I see the same faces at all the events, dude. You know, and you can make enemies quick, brother, you know what I mean? And if you're doing the wrong things to people, you know what I mean? And you do got to watch what you say to people and how you treat people. You know, I try not to promise the world, dude, because I don't have the world, you know what I mean? I don't have the big money that all these managements have and all that stuff, but all I can offer, dude, is my love and my fucking loyalty, dude, excuse my language, and my loyalty, dude. You know what I mean? And try to build these guys, dude, and get them on the local scene.
And you know what? And Anthony, that's one thing I really see about you. I mean, just like me, you know, I'm just a regular guy. I'm not a Jason House, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not one of those big guys like that. You know, both of us were small time guys. And this, the fact that in 2013 I was nominated for California Manager of the Year, even though I didn't win it, it was an honor being in that group with those guys. And
I voted you, bro. I voted for you.
Thank you.
It
shows that I'm making weight.
And
I mean, and I see you. I mean, you're doing big things, bro. It's like wow, you know, this dude's got his stuff together.
Yeah, I mean, I'm proud to say, dude, I got my hands in working with, you know, some of the top elite fighters in Camel, dude. You know what I mean? And I work for these guys, dude. You know what I mean? Mario calls me and he says he needs this or he needs that or he wants to do this, he thinks of that. You know, I try to do that, you know, whatever he needs, man. Whatever he needs, dog, whatever his goals are. I try to help him and work with his coaches. You know, he has his own team too.
Yeah.
You know, and I try to work with them and their goals and exposing their clubs and their fighter.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I don't want to be their coach, bro. I want to be their guy that leads, you know, the back end, the business stuff.
So Mario, at this point right now, are you holding any titles right now?
Yeah, I have the knockout promotion title and a get down promotion title.
Nice.
Yep, yeah. Those are two big titles too.
Yeah,
and you
definitely.
Know, and so you know, and then you'll see him on the pro level, man. You want to follow him? What's your Facebook, Marcos? Mario.
Just look up Mario Delgado on Facebook or you know Instagram. MMA Delgado, and follow me because I got a bunch, a gang of followers since I started fighting. No one was interested in my Facebook when all of a sudden I started fighting. Everyone's all interested. So, yeah, follow me.
I'm looking at your Facebook right now. I'm about to send a request to you. I like that word.
Yeah, man, follow. Follow Mario, guys, and you know he's gonna have a very very cool pro debut against Joel Latt. These guys are gonna tear each other's heads off, man. It'll be really fun to watch this fight. You know, and if you want to see a top amateur out of California, out of LA, you know, banging his way, dude, through smoker fights, through amateur fights, he went through everybody through Camel, dude. The two fights that he lost, and you heard the way he lost them, bro, through a draw. Through his shoulder popping out. You know what I mean? You can't do anything about those situations. Came back, and we made sure that he avenged those dudes, and he destroyed those dudes. You know what I mean? And all respect to those guys, but that's what happened. And now he's, you know, in our eyes, he's undefeated, man. And he's going to carry that momentum into the pros. This guy's going to be something, man. I'm telling you right now. You know, this is our local guy. It's going to be big. You know, we got to follow him. We got to support him. And come watch him fight May 3rd, Hollywood Park Casino, Sparstar Promotions.
Definitely. And, you know, I like your work that kicking your ass. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, we fight for God, right. Family, and country, baby. God, family, and country.
There you
go.
I'm trying
to get paid, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's what it's about. You know, find something you love and making a living at it, and you'll never work
in
your life.
Yeah, I'm a prize fighter. I'm a prize fighter, and, you know, that's what I'm trying to do.
All right, Mario, this is your time. Go ahead and give shout-outs to anybody you want, any training partners, any coaches, any family members, fans, friends, anybody. Just go ahead and, you know, throw their names out there.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, just want to thank everyone for, you know, the support and that I'm getting, because it's more than I imagined. And thank you for all my believers. Thank you for the haters, too, as well. And thank you to, you know, TTC Punishment, Huntington Beach. Come through if you want to learn how to, you know, wrestle, fight, or, you know, if you're just trying to work out, come through. Punishment Training Center, Huntington Beach. Or if you want to train with me, just hit me up on my Facebook or whatever. And, yeah. Thank you to everybody that's been supporting me. I'm going to continue it on the pro circuit. And that's pretty much it. Yeah. And I want to get paid. Anyone who wants to find me for some money, you can hit me up as well. Hit me up on Facebook if you want to fight for some money. What's up?
Cool, bro. Yeah. I mean, you know, I can't wait to see you out there on Sparstar May 3rd. Oh, tickets. Anybody needs tickets? How do they go about getting tickets other than coming through me?
Yeah, hit me up for tickets. You know, I'm always on Facebook. Add me on Facebook.
Mario Delgado, D-E-L-G-A-D-O.
Yeah, MMA Delgado on Instagram. MMA Delgado.
All right, Mario, I want to thank you for coming on, bro. Good luck to you. I'll see you out there on May 3rd. I wish you good luck, bro. I mean, you're sky's the limit for you, bro. So, you know, I'm looking forward to watching you go into the pros. And thanks for coming on. And, Anthony, want to invite you to still stay on because we got Tigran coming on next. You know, give us a little intro on Tigran, who he is and what he does.
Tigran is a bad dude, man. This kid is an all-around fighter. He is the epiphany of what a fighter is, man. He is a dude, you know what I mean, coming from Armenia, just a brawler, bro. I mean, you look at his face, dude, he's got the cauliflower, he's got the broken nose, you know, the bridge on his nose. And the kid is so humble, man. I mean, the coolest dude you will ever meet. You know, on a business end, he's so marketable. People love him. He sells tickets, bro, like you wouldn't believe, man. He has the whole crowd just chanting his name, Tigran. Tigran, you know, he's a coach. He coaches the karate international team. You know, he's all over, dude. He's a wrestler. He's a kickboxer, Muay Thai. You know, he's all over, all around champion, brother. And we're gonna see him on the Camel Circuit. He's 3-0. He's gonna be on for probably another year, dude. Running, you know, just running through different organizations, gaining belts and titles and whatnot. And then we'll see him on the pro circuit when his coach, Ken, from International Sports Union, when he decides it's ready for him to go pro, then we'll, you know, we'll take him on that level.
Nice. So let's go ahead and bring him on. Tigran, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. I feel honored to be on here. The pleasure's all mine, guys.
Oh, no, thank you. The pleasure is ours. Now, you know, you had a great intro right here by Anthony. Why don't you tell the fans who you are in your own words and what you got going on coming up?
All right, well, I'm 22 years old. You know, I've been training since I was 4 years old. I'm Armenian. Tigran Martiros is my full name. You know, I'm training as a universal fighter. Been fighting almost all, you know, my whole life, and in almost every division. You know, like, started out with karate, draka, sandan wushu is my main background. And and like Anthony mentioned, you know, I'm now one of the head coaches for the USA Open National Team. And, you know, even today I had students compete at the Las Vegas Open Junior Olympic Tournament. So, you know, I'm actually on my way back from Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
So it's just, Yeah, so it's just running around my whole life, you know, and it's a, I would say it's more of a hobby now. So once you're in it, you know, you don't want to kind of leave it.
Definitely,
so, yeah.
Definitely. So what is your MMA record right now?
Right now it's 3-0.
3-0, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Out of those fights there, which one would you say is your favorite?
Coming out of the mixed martial arts fight, I would say the last one, which I actually fought about 2 weeks ago on April 6th. It was a title fight at Mansion Fights, and I took the title belt with a first round knee lock with a knee submission in the first round. So, I mean, I was pretty, you know, pretty excited on that win, taking that win.
Well, congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it was a really, really good fight, man. He's such a poised fighter. So he's like water, brother. This kid is the Bruce Lee, brother, of our time. No BS, dude.
And I know how hard it is to get a leg lock in camel, because as soon as the other guy starts wiggling around, and they're saying that it's twisting, so, I mean,
it's
that's
over.
Amazing.
Yeah, they said apparently it's rare seeing that, especially in amateur, and they said it was dangerous. You know, they don't want to see any twists or anything like that, because it can lead to very dangerous, you know, injuries. So
yeah.
I was like, you know, it just all happened very, very smoothly and flow. You know, I just went with the flow and it just opened up and I took it.
Nice. So what do you have coming up next for Sparstar?
Sparstar, man, May 3rd, main event, title fight. It's going to be for a belt again. So really looking forward to that one. Really hyped up. I heard it's a very big, very huge show, and I'm calling everybody that I know. So hopefully, you know, quadruple my fans, everybody who comes out to support me. So I'm looking forward to it.
Nice. So what weight are you fighting at?
I'm fighting about like 140, around 140 to 145. So I'm trying to take the title in that weight class.
And what do you walk around at?
I walk around like 140-ish, just around there.
Okay, so you're not really being a weight cut at all.
Yeah, I'm like, yep, exactly. Yeah, I'm right around that weight class, though.
So. That's good.
So sooner, yeah.
Now, yeah, Albert Morales is ready, man. He's, you know, he has all the respect in the world for Tigran, but he's hungry for Tigran. He was actually, Albert Morales was Dean Boyce's coach for his last fight. And you know, Dean Boyce is a tough guy, man, and unfortunately, you know, it wasn't his night. And Tigran came on the top, but his coach wants a piece of Tigran now. And you know, and it's all set. You know, they got a title fight, Sparstar, you know, May 3rd, man. It's gonna be a good one. You know, you gotta come out and see Tigran fight. If you wanna see, you know, the top fighter in this division, in my eyes, bro, Tigran has to be, you know, top five in our country as an amateur. And going to the pro level, dude, he is going to make, you know, just crazy noise, crazy progress.
Now,
you know,
okay.
I see 100 fights a month, bro.
Yeah, Albert is actually, he trains out of our camp. He's not one of my fighters, but he trains out of our camp.
Right.
So, I mean, this is going to be a war. And
yep.
It's going to give the fans everything they want.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm expecting a strong fight, you know. I mean, took the title at Mansion Fight, and you know he's hungry. So, you know, I got to come out even hungrier. So, I haven't missed a day from training. I haven't missed a day from coaching. So it's just around me. This is my work. So I'm gonna go and give it my best, give him the strongest, and hopefully do what I do best. You know. So
good.
That's it, man. You know, I know he's gonna come out hungry, but I got to try to finish it fast.
Now, in training camp, what is the one thing you miss the most that you have to give up?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Can you repeat that again?
When you're in training camp, what's the thing that you give up that you miss the most?
Out of my training camp?
Camp? When you're in a camp, a lot of fighters, you know, they give up, you know, drinking or partying, or they give up eating donuts, whatever it is. What's the thing that you have to give up that you miss the most?
Well, you know, I don't drink at all. I've never smoked in my life. So I would say the one thing that you could say that I miss is gonna, you know, my whole environment, as in hanging around with my friends. That's the number one thing, spending time with the people I love. And, you know, it's a huge dedication in the sport, so time is a very consuming thing. So I don't have the, you know, since I don't drink, I don't smoke, I rarely go out. You know, everything is dedicated straight to the sport.
I mean, it sounds like it with everything you got going on in the different martial arts. Like, wow, when do you have time to just chill?
He doesn't. His coach Ken keeps him busy, man. And Ken is passionate about Tigran, bro. They got such a great organization. You know, I had the opportunity and the honor and to go to Ken's house, and he invited me in and my fiance, and we celebrated Tigran's victory of his last fight. And these guys, bro, I mean, these guys are just such a great brotherhood, man. They've got such a great organization, such a strong character, and, you know, and these guys, I mean, each and every one of their fighters, bro, is just a great guy. You know, Ken is doing a great job down at International Sports Union.
Yeah, right. Ken Artunian is he's my head coach, and he's I could say like a second father to me. So he's like the one guy that I'm always with. You know, I was actually with him this whole weekend, you know, at this tournament. So I'm with him almost 24/7, training and when I'm not training. So he's the number one guy that I look up to, and you know, I'm always honored and privileged to be with.
Yeah.
Cool. So how long are you looking before you make your pro debut?
You know what? I was looking to go out early, but I'm gonna get a couple more amateur fights, you know, hopefully put out my name there, you know, show everybody who I am, and we'll see. We'll see somewhere down the line. You know, I'll definitely go pro, but not anytime very soon. I'll tell you that.
That's good. Take your time. Definitely.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to, you know, he's going to work on building himself. This kid has already got such a strong local following, you guys. You guys got to see his, you know, if you can get a hold of his old fights. I mean, they cheer for him, bro. I mean, he's a gladiator, dude, you know, and he's just going to build off of that momentum. You know?
And that's what a lot of people don't see at the amateur level, is they think it's just about the fights, but it's also about branding yourself and building a fan base.
Yep, and he's doing just that. He's got all the right people behind him. You know, so that's what we're working on for him, and he's an easy to market guy. He's very friendly, and he's all about the spirit, man. I'm telling you, he's our modern day Bruce Lee, dude.
Nice. So Tigran, how do you see this fight going? Are you looking for early stoppage? You see it going all three rounds? I mean, what are you envisioning?
You know, they game plans. You always want to have a game plan. But sometimes it changes, you know, when you're actually in there in the cage, you never know what's going to happen. And that's the thing that's really really exciting about the sport, that's kind of different with every other sport. You know what I mean? I mean, boxing, it's either, you know, knockdown, knockout. And you're not going to expect a kick. You're not going to expect a takedown or a submission or, you know, a knockout. So you never know what's going to happen. Whether it's what I want to happen during the fight, it's obviously going to be either a knockout or a submission. That's it. Finish it quick and early. And that's about it. You know, no one really wants to last all three rounds, but if you want to go professional, you also got to feel the experience and have as much time spent in the cage live. So that's what I believe.
Yep. Unfortunately, Tigran takes out his opponents very quickly.
Unfortunately.
It's good for the fans and stuff, but we would love to see Tigran get a little bit more ring time, you know what I mean? But if he's got to take his opponent out, if he leaves something open, we will take it. You know?
Okay. You don't drink. You really don't go out much. Fight, you win. A minute into the fight, what are you doing to celebrate?
Exactly.
What? Where are you going? Are you going to a restaurant? Are you going, you know, a private party? What are you doing after to celebrate?
Well, I don't do what I don't do, so I don't start to drink the same day that I win or even smoke or anything like that. But I spend time with the people that I love and that I don't have time to initially, you know, spend with. I'll tell you that. So maybe consume a little bit more calories, I would say, the day of the win, because everybody knows how weight cuts are and being right on the dot. And that's a very important thing for me. So calories, that's about it.
Well, I mean, he
just wants to go to a buffet, dude. Take him to a buffet afterwards.
I have one fighter that it's Denny's, unless the McRib is in town, then it's McDonald's. Oh. But if not, it's Denny's. Then I have another fighter, it's Taco. So, you know, like, you know, everybody's got their one place that they want to go celebrate after.
Yeah. And these guys, man, these Armenians throw a big cookout, bro, after the fight.
Oh, yeah.
Man, they have bison, they have all kinds of vegetables and potatoes. I mean, it's awesome.
20 types of meats, any type of meat that you can think of. I'll tell you that.
Man, they do it big, and they have beautiful homes, man. It's just a great party, man.
You gotta invite me to your after party then. 20 types of meat, I'm in.
For sure, dude. Sure, man. We'll get Ken to invite you in, bro, and you're in. But once you're in with the Armenian crew, you're in, dude. So.
Nice.
My what?
I said nice.
Yeah.
Now, okay, you're in a sport where there's groupies and there's women who love the sport. For the women out there, are you single or are you attached?
I'm actually single. I'm single at the moment.
Nice.
He's married to the cage.
Man, that's
how
it's
married to the cage.
Hey, and he's such a nice guy too, man. I guess it takes the right woman, man. Someone that's probably just as passionate about what he's passionate about, you know. He'll get there, man.
Yeah.
But right now, he's focused. He's focused on killing his opponent. You know?
Exactly.
You know what? That's how you need to be. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, you know, yeah, I played around a lot when I first came into the sport, but it was hard to find a woman who had my back. And I finally found one who gives me her full support. She's not like, oh, why are you at the gym so late? Another fight this weekend? No, she's not like that. She's like, when's the next fight? She's like, okay, I can't go with you to the gym tonight, but I could go with you tomorrow night. You know, she's right there. She's taking inventory for me. You know, when we set up our booth to sell our product at fights, it's like we're lost without her. She's the only one who knows how to fold the shirts right. And, you know, it's great having someone like that behind you. And it's going to take you some time to find someone, especially with this type of sport this is, and also with women are seeing dollar signs and they really don't know how much fighters get paid.
Yeah.
You got to weed through all the bad ones before you find a good one.
For sure.
Yep.
Yeah, I completely agree, man. Don't get me wrong. You know, I love women too. I love women too just as much as you guys. But the thing is, the number one thing is being focused, and I can support from different angles, you know, especially at the moment. And so my biggest support, all the fans, man, fans, and there's different types of fans. You know, family, number one, my coaches, my Muay Thai coach, my wrestling coach, my grappling coach, especially my boxing coach and my head coach Ken Artunian. You know, they're the family there. All my students, the parental support. You know, even Gladiator Camp. Everything they're doing for me right now. You know, they're putting my name out there and they're giving me this big chance out here. So I couldn't be any more honored for that.
That's right. Thank you, man. And you deserve it, brother.
So,
you know, I. You know, I'm in a position, dude, where I get to pick and look over a lot of fighters, and Tigran has always been my number one, you know, prospect, you know, besides Marcos Bonilla and you know, Marlo Delgado and guys like that. You know, Tigran was always a guy that I wanted to work with just because of his character and his work ethics. And to me, you know, if a guy's that hungry, then he deserves it, bro. You know, and Tigran deserves everything that's coming to him, man. Everything.
Yeah, thank you, bro. Thank you.
That's great. And you know, that's what I like about doing this show, too, is I get to work with guys that we're facing. And, you know, I don't show any favoritism when I do an interview. And it's just I love the sport that much that I want to be cool with everybody. Just like, you know,
right.
A couple of weeks ago, Tarion fought Eric Winston. Eric Winston was a great guy. You know, I'm just sorry somebody has to lose that fight. You know,
mm-hmm.
Eric's got a bright future in front of him. And, you know, and I like interviewing him and, you know, his team over there at All MMA, they're great guys. And I just love being involved in the sport, period.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, it's everything's for the sport, and we love the sport, so that's why we do it, and only to help the name grow even more, you know? That's what I believe.
Definitely. Now, a lot of times, guys will fight, and after the fight is over, a couple weeks later, they'll start training together. Have you encountered that yet?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand clearly. Can you repeat that again?
Like, a lot of times in the sport, after guys fight each other, you know, they'll get to know each other and, you know, do some little cross training. Have you had that chance yet to cross train with somebody that you fought against?
Oh, okay. Cross train against somebody that I've already fought previously. You know what? No, not that I know of recently at all. I mean, there's been few occasions where, you know, somewhere down the line they find me through like Instagram or let's say Facebook, and they try to build a relationship and you know, like a mutual relationship, and I never mind. You know, I don't want to hold grudges or anything like that. So, you know, I have contact with them. But as far as training and stuff like that, cross training, it's not a big problem at all. If they ever want to, you know, they can always come down and have a training session at our sport at International Sports Union, and it's never a big problem or an issue for me.
Like yeah, I have a fighter, Bobby Sanchez, and every fight that he's done under my management, we've had somebody corner him, who he's already fought. So that's a little funny.
Yeah, it could be an advantage and a disadvantage. I mean, you know what I mean? It's an advantage because he's got different guys on him. You learn different things, you know what I mean? And you pick up different tools from different people. I mean, and the disadvantage could, I guess, be that, you know, fighters probably want to have the same face in their corner.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to see, you know, how he turns out.
Definitely. So, you know, Sparstar, you know, it's the premier amateur organization here in the Los Angeles area. Yeah. Is this your first fight with Sparstar?
With Sparstar, yes, it is.
Nice.
Yep, we're glad to have him on board, dude. Tony Padillas is just ecstatic, dude, to have him on board. He can't even sleep, bro. He's pumped. He was glad the day that we signed him up. You know, I've been talking about Tigran for a long time. You know what I mean? So we're glad to have him on board. We plan to keep him on board. You know, bring him back in August again. You know, we had a few top names. We're trying to, you know, pick the top guys to fight him now. You know, it's not going to be easy for him anymore. You know, not to say that it was easy before, but he knows that the road, you know, that's paved before him is going to be a tough, bloody road. And he's with it, brother. He's with it 100%. You know, it's a blood sport, and he's here to put on a show for you guys. You know,
exactly. That's exactly the mindset you need to have to succeed in this sport. You know, it's refreshing to find guys like that who want to be. To be the best, you got to beat the best. And, you know, there's a lot of guys out there, well, I don't want to take that fight because he's a hard striker and I'm a wrestler. You know, then you know what? Go do tournaments. Don't fight.
Right.
Yeah, that's completely true.
You guys going to see this kid, man. Yeah, you know, the UFC, you see what's out there now. You know, a lot of people be like, oh, there's never going to be a guy like this. No, dude. There's so much talent. And, Ray, you can back me on this. There's so much talent coming out of L.A., bro. Working their way out of these flipping ghettos, dude, and out of the alleys and wherever we find these guys. They're training every day, bro, and they're training in different, you know, in different areas of martial arts and different disciplines. Guys like Tigran who live in the gym, dude, and they're going to make their names, bro, and we're going to see new faces out there. And not necessarily on the UFC platform, you know what I mean? They're going to be all over, dude, Bellator, RFA. You know, we're going to take these kids anywhere that they can make a living and have fun.
I mean, this sport is just exploding right now. I mean,
yes.
You know, if
the fastest growing sport in the world.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember back in the day, you know, after UFC first came out, back when there were no weight classes, they couldn't even have it in the United States.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and to be a part of it right now, where it's only been around for what, 20 years. It's still in its infancy. You know, it's not like boxing's been around for hundreds of years. Or, you know, football that's been around for, you know, was like 102 years. You know, we're here on the ground level. And, yeah, people are complaining about the money. The money's not there now, but it will be.
No.
Yeah.
And you know, and there's money in this sport, you know what I mean? If you know how to find it and if you're patient for it, and that's what Gladiator Camp is all about, man. We find these elite fighters that want to be pro. We work with guys that want to be pro. And we teach them, we give them the tools it takes to be pro, you know, and you know, to market them the right way, contract signing, how to deal with the promoters and the fans and all that good stuff.
you know, we help them, we guide them to go pros, the, you know, the tools and the basics that they need to go pro. And you know, and look what we've done so far. You know what I mean? We've got good guys on our team. Guys like Tigre, man, he's going to be, you know, he's going to be our star. And Marcos Bonilla, you know, and Mauro Delgado, Hector Salinas. You know,
yeah,
you can,
I mean, no, like you guys said, you know, the sport's only been out for like 20-something years. And I mean, we see it. It's evolving. It's evolving. And I mean, my coach, you know, Ken Artunian, he even says, you know, he says, if you're gonna go after the money, you know, there's so many other ways of making money. You gotta do it. You gotta do the sport because you love the sport, and that's the number one thing. Not go for the money or go for the woman that, you know, in other situations, well, that's what they strive for, you know.
Definitely. All right, Tigran, this is your time. Go ahead and shout out whoever you want to shout out: training partners, coaches, sponsors, fans, anybody. Go ahead, and take your time and go ahead and shout everybody out.
Definitely, man. Shout out. Definitely going to go out to all the fans, everybody who's stuck with me by me at all times, at all my fights, you know, whether they were there present or not, and you know, they had it in their hearts for the favor in my wins. My family, you know, my two younger brothers, my parents, my mother, my father, all my close friends, my sparring partners, definitely all my sparring partners who usually don't get credit, you know, with other guys who train with them. All my coaches, Muay Thai coach George Armirian, wrestling coach Martin Berberian, three-time Olympian, my boxing coach Nishan Munchan, I got my karate coach Zavin Harapetyan, and definitely my head coach Ken Artunian. And definitely want to thank God. You know, I believe that, you know, if you have faith in God, anything is possible. And so with all that said, you know, there's just so many people that I can name right now, but you know, everybody who's been with me, that's the number one thing. You can't look back at, you know, once you make a name, there's going to be new names coming with you, and they're going to, you know, start to follow you. But you got to look at who's with you right now. And
that's
so
right.
Especially with that, yeah, and I, you know, and last but not least, Gladiator Camp, man. Gladiator Camp who's helped me, you know, right now in the effort to making who I am and who I'm going to be in the future. So, you know, thank you to all those guys that I mentioned.
Cool. And then people who want tickets, how do they go about getting tickets to the fight?
I didn't hear that. Can you say that again?
People who want tickets to the fight, how do they go about getting tickets?
I'm sorry.
How do they get tickets? Yeah, you can have Tigran on his Facebook. How do they get tickets, Tigran?
Yeah, you know, Facebook. Yeah, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. All you have to do is very plain and simple. Just search my name, Tigran Martirosyan, first name, last name. I try to keep it simple and very professional. No nicknames. You know, some people, they have dashes and X's and, you know, just my first name and last name, Tigran Martirosyan. And if you hit our school's name, International Sports Union, you can also find me through that direction. So either or.
Nice.
Yeah, or hit them up. If you go to Facebook and you look under Gladiator Camp, we also have him as a friend under there. Gladiator Camp is a good way to follow
all your
local amateur fighters coming up. You know, we show a lot of love to Tigran and everybody. You know, look at Gladiator Camp or myself, Anthony Calix. You know, I help these guys out. You know, so we ask anybody that wants to follow the local, you know, Southern California amateur MMA scene, you know, definitely follow us, man, and keep in contact with us. We'd love to hear you guys.
Definitely. It was great having you guys on. Thank you, Anthony, for coming on. Tigran, can't
thank
wait
you guys.
To see
you thank
fight
you guys.
May 3rd. I will be there in attendance. Good luck, bro. I mean, the way you train, you don't need it. But I can't wait to see big things come out of you. And we'll definitely have you on the show in the future. And I want to thank you, Tigran, for your time. And you, Anthony, thank you for coming on, bro. And we'll see you guys May 3rd.
Thank
you. Always,
man.
Brother.
Thank
it's a blessing, man. Good luck and Godspeed, boys.
All right, thank you guys for having me on the show. Thank you guys. Good night.
What a great show, Ray. Great group of guys. Definitely, I really like Anthony. We've got to have him on again.
Oh, definitely, yeah. We'll have him on again. I mean, you know, he's definitely got his finger on the pulse of amateur MMA here in Southern California, and he's going to be making that jump to the pros soon, and know, we'll see how that goes when he gets to the pros. But I mean, the dude's been in the business for a while. He knows what he's doing.
Well, that's cool, man. I mean, he was a great interview. He was really knowledgeable. Got to talk to him about a bunch of different things. So, all and the fighters both, great guys. Definitely great show. First and foremost, Persist Headwear, Takedown Grapplewear, thank you for always sponsoring Sunday Night Fights Live. Thank you to the great guests. Make sure you guys get over to the Facebook page and hit that like button and share button. Go give some shout-outs, buddy.
The Spark Car MMA coming up May 3rd. All these guys are going to be on that card. Hit me up for tickets. Go to my Facebook, Ray Lopez, or go to Takedown Grapplewear. I got tickets for sale. I got discount tickets for sale. If you're a fan of the show, stop by my booth. I'll definitely give you a discount on some Takedown gear. Sparks MMA, May 3rd. Also, IFS that same day. I have another fighter fighting a Muay Thai fight that day at the Industry Hills Expo Center. You want tickets to that, let me know. It's always great to go watch a Muay Thai fight in the afternoon and come watch MMA fights at night. Don't drink and drive. Happy Easter. Once again, thanks, Skippy.
Oh, always, brother. And you guys know how we end every show. Eagle!
Who gives it up and who be rocking all that rough stuff? All in the cut is young dads with the pimp struck. He struck game on those who act lame. See, ain't a damn thing changed. You know I ride the neighborhood slow. Blocks on you and let the wind blow. True indeed, I'm having the balls. Pick up the phone and get my homies.